desire and interest in your prayers tonight, and we'll be able to express the burden that's on our heart. For those of you that might not be able to see what I wrote on the board, it says commitment isn't everything, just most of it. That's not a phrase that I'm aware of any famous person saying, but if it is, I'm not trying to steal it from them. My inspiration for the burden tonight came from a very unusual place, maybe a little bit on the other side of where we want to live and where we want to go with our lives. In our hometown, there's a liquor store that has a marquee out front, and I noticed that they had one of these scrolling messages on, and can't help from seeing what comes up on their marquee. And it said, whiskey can't solve all of life's problems, but it's worth a shot. And I don't know if it sold a lot of product for them or not, but as I thought about that, and it must have been up for quite a while, because it might still be up, I had to think, Lord, there's something obviously a lot better than that. There's something that you have for mankind rather than just taking a shot of that kind of stuff. And as I was thinking about that, it seemed like the Lord, before the meeting, considerable time has put this burden on my heart for this place, and I desire your prayers that we'll be able to convey it in a way that it'll be meaningful to us and beneficial to our souls. Thinking about our young people, all of them that got up and sang these songs tonight, and the commitments that you have expressed, sometimes in the songs, sometimes in your testimonies, and all in front of us. And I want you to know that I really appreciate that. Appreciate your willingness to sing those songs. And I was there as a young person. I was there in part of a group of young people. Some of us are here tonight. I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate to ask you to stand up if you were a young person when I was a young person. But there was quite a number, and I'm thankful for all of us that's made it to this point. I remember the commitment that I made personally as a young boy. It was at a revival meeting, or all-day meeting, that was held at Grubbs, Arkansas. Some of y'all know that place and some of you don't. I remember the call that went out after the message, and I remember realizing that I was at a place in my life I had to make a decision. I'm either going to amend my ways and commit myself to the Lord and make a commitment to live for Him, or the enemy had some serious plans for me to go another direction. And I remember that initial commitment that I made. I'd like to say that I was perfectly true to that commitment from then until now, but I want you to know that I'm just as human as the rest of you, and I've had to recommit myself as a young person. And I've lived long enough to know that commitment to that has been the difference that has got me from then until now. There's been a lot of other things that have went on in my life, a lot of emotions, a lot of decisions. But when it comes right down to it, if it hadn't been for commitment, I wouldn't be here today. I remember also, as a young boy, I was about 13 years old, and my dad used to get like a Poplar Mechanics or Poplar, something like, I don't know, something like that, a little magazine that would come to the house, and in the back was always advertisements for technical things and all, and there was an advertisement for a correspondence course in small engine repair. And I decided to spend my money that I'd saved up cutting grass and enroll in that. And my parents questioned me, "Are you sure you want to do this? You want to spend your money on that?" And I said I did. And I did, and I completed that as an early teenager. And there's been many a time that my commitment to follow that trade has been contested. And the only thing that's kept me on track is commitment. And then along a few years later, I remember what it was like to stand in that back room with the minister. Brother Clifford Wilson was the minister, and he said, "This is your last chance for freedom." And I said, "No, I want to go through with this." So we walked out. My brother, Brother Herschel, was there, I believe, and we walked out and stood in front of the crowd. And then I was able to escort my wife to be down the aisle. We made a commitment on that day. A little over 36 years ago now. It's been long enough that that commitment has been tested too. For me to stand here and tell you that we have always seen eye to eye and she does everything I want her to do would be a little bit out of line, because it wouldn't be a true statement. There's been some tense times, and if it hadn't have been for commitment, the devil would have seen that we would have went separate ways. There's enough of life that has passed under the bridge for me that all three of these areas could have found me in a different spot today than where I am. Thinking of a verse over here in Psalms, the 15th chapter, in the fourth verse, we won't read it all. The whole chapter is good. The whole psalm. It starts out asking a question, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Who is it that's going to meet God's expectations? And who is it that's going to meet his approval? And who is it that's going to receive the reward? Who is it? He says in verse 4, "In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not." This is some of the characteristics of those that would meet God's expectation. And I think it'd be pretty foolish for us to assume that any of us would swear to our own hurt intentionally. We make commitments because we have high expectations of reward and fulfillment. I didn't get married to anticipate a disagreement. I didn't start out to serve the Lord because I felt like it was a life of drudgery. And I didn't start out down the line of the occupation that I've followed all of my life, thinking that this is going to be a miserable way to make a living. Every one of those, I made those commitments in good faith that it was going to be rewarding, it was going to be fulfilling, and it was going to satisfy and gratify some expectation that I had. So, why is it important for us to consider this tonight? Those that find themselves in a position of pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, or the uncomfortable situation of how do I resolve this dilemma that I'm in? It's not, the commitment isn't materializing like I anticipated it to be. We all made those commitments with something different in mind. Commitment isn't everything, just most of it. And life in general has a lot of things that's full of less than perfect results. It's just reality. Our spiritual walk with the Lord and our work for Him, whatever that might be, is no different. We're going to face disappointment. We're going to face rejection. We're going to face solitude. We're going to face a failure to see the results that we had anticipated. All of that's going to happen. And commitment wouldn't be commitment if it wasn't tested. If it was something other than that, if you could just sign up for it and the result was secure, then the whole thing of commitment, the meaning behind commitment would be marginalized. It would not mean what it does. We look on someone, and if you use the word to identify a characteristic in an individual and say they have a lot of commitment, I'm sure that the story behind that is that things aren't going so well. They continue doing the right thing even if it's not getting the reward that they would expect for it to do right then. Otherwise, we'd use some other word. We wouldn't say they have a lot of commitment. We might say they have a lot of finesse, or they have a lot of skill, or they are a smooth talker, or I don't know what you would say, but you probably wouldn't say commitment. If it looked like everything that they touch turned to gold, you might say they have the Midas touch. You wouldn't say they have a lot of commitment. But when you see someone that's struggling with difficulty and they continue to go the path that they are convinced, it's something they believe, you see. We heard that. If it's something that they really believe and they're really committed to, you're going to see them continuing down the path even though there's adversity, even though there's objection, even though there's something that is resisting the progress that they're working so hard to accomplish. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 20, he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You know, I believe that all of us would say here that God has all power, that everything is in subjection to God. But yet there's many things that we would like to see happen and it doesn't. And I wonder sometimes if it's because commitment is pulled back. If it's because commitment is not followed through. Our commitment to His cause many times is a limiting factor. The Lord has, I probably not speaking correctly there, but the Lord needs you and I to be able to work through. And it's going to take commitment. You know, the statement that we make when we are committed to a marriage, you know what that statement is doing in our world today? It's speaking louder than it ever has before. For us to be true to our vows and be willing to work through our difficulties. I'm not standing up here saying that we have a lot of bad marriages. That's not what I'm talking about. But we all have those times where commitment has to kick in. It has to be there for us to be able to follow through with what we should do. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, let's go there and notice what the Apostle Paul said again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." The Lord is able to keep his commitment. He will keep his. I remember many times in my line of work, someone could have a lot of anxiety about their mechanical problems. And when I've been able to communicate to them that I was committed to resolving their issue, whether it was my mistake, whether it was my oversight, or whether it was my ineptitude or lack of understanding or whatever it is, when I was able to communicate to them one-on-one that I would resolve it, and they would be satisfied with what we did, the amount of relief that comes over a person's face when they realize that. And I want you to know that you can be relieved today that Jesus Christ is able to keep what we've committed to him. And he's looking for us to have a very high level of commitment to his cause and his purpose and to what he wants to accomplish in our world today and in our lives individually. Jesus is able. Are we able, or are we willing to keep up our end of the commitment? Thinking about a song that we have, number 271. It says here, it's talking about stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up. Stand up. The trumpet call, obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this glorious day. Does that seem like a little bit of a paradox? It says, forth to the mighty conflict in his glorious day. To me, I could a lot rather, and my personality is such that I would rather avoid conflict than to go charging out after it. But he says, stand up. Stand up. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve him. There's another message there. Against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. It is imperative that we get a hold of how important commitment is, because it's going to be contested. There is conflict out there. And you may be facing something in your mind tonight and wondering if the commitment that you initially made was worth it. You would have to live with me to know how many times that I've come home from my job and told my wife, I wonder if it would be better if I could find a job just sacking groceries. It just seems like that would be the relief. Is just well, we don't even do that anymore. You have to sack them yourself probably. But I just thought about when I was a child going to the grocery store and the fellow that would sack your groceries and take them out and set them in the trunk for your parents. You know, that it ought to be something I can handle. And when you come home and you don't know, you left the job and you don't know what the answer is to the problem, and you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, that's when commitment comes to play. And when you've done all that you know to do to minister to for God's cause and it doesn't seem like it's working, and you want to say, well, I tried. Probably just not meant for me. Or maybe it's just one of those impossible things. We have a core value at our place of business that we call tenacious perseverance. It relies on commitment. We have to get to the bottom of the problem. We have to be willing to say, no, I committed to this, and now I'm owning it. Sometimes we do our best work for free because of commitment. I want us to understand tonight that the secret to long-term success is not going to be a flamboyant style. It's not going to be something that just overpowers. But the secret to long-term success across the board in your life is going to be commitment. Yes. Commitment isn't everything. It's just most of it. Yeah. It's just most of it. There's other few little things that go in, but if you're not committed, right, you'll fail. Yes. Right. Uncommitment, non-commitment, whatever the right grammar is there, will leave you with failure in your life. So I'd like to reintroduce a couple fellows in the Bible to us. One is in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. You know these people and you know their stories, so I won't read the whole story. I'd like to go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and we're going to read a verse about Jacob. And Jacob was returning back to his homeland, and he knew that one of the things that he was going to face was his brother, and his brother had had all intentions of taking his life. And as he went back to that area, he had a plan. He sent his possessions and his wife and children, his wives and children, on ahead of him. We know that story, I'm sure, so I won't read it to us. But let's go to verse 26 and maybe start verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You know, sometimes when things are looking bad, it gets worse. When things look like they're crumbling around you, then things start falling in. And right at that time is when commitment comes into question. Maybe you took the wrong choice, or maybe you took the wrong path, or maybe you chose the wrong wife. Or maybe you chose the wrong job, or maybe you missed your calling. And maybe this is not what God wants you to do. But I'll give you another maybe. Maybe your commitment is just being tested. Maybe it's time for you to say, as Jacob did, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go, except thou bless me. I will not." He was committed. "I started out because I recognized this is something that I needed to do. I need to get back to the land that God intended for me to live. I need to go there. This is the commitment. This is where my inheritance is." And as he journeyed, he met some severe opposition. And not only was his fears of coming in contact with a brother that had intention of taking his life, there was someone that wanted to pick a fight with him and wanted to wrestle with him. And he wrestled all night long. I've wrestled through the night in my mind, wondering, what could I do different? What's the answer to the dilemma that I'm in? Where do I go now? Maybe there's a back door somewhere. Maybe I could escape and leave this with someone else. Maybe you think that it's someone else would be more capable. Or maybe you just want to get shed of it all. And I'll tell you, the only thing that's kept me from doing that is not because that I'm so strong in myself. It's because I was committed to the cause. Are you committed tonight? Has your commitment been challenged? Have you faced some things that cause you to wonder, is it really worth it? Young people, I want you to make the commitment. I want you to decide to follow Jesus. I don't want you to go along a little ways and then throw in the towel. But I want you to take my shoes when they're empty. I want you to step up to the plate. I want you to have the commitment to follow through and not back up. It's going to take more than just coming to an altar of prayer and expecting to go away with a glorious experience. Oh, I believe in that. I believe we can get something that causes us to want to shout. It causes us to want to rejoice. And I believe rejoicing and praise is in order. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some commitment. Push is going to come to shove. And you're going to have the commitment to stay right in there. No, I will not let you go. I will not turn loose of my salvation. Even though the people, or my peers, don't approve of what I'm doing or how I'm living, and they think that I'm not experiencing life to the fulfillment that I could, and I'm missing out in all of those things. And maybe you were unwise enough to share some of your personal problems with friends at large. Maybe troubles you have in your relationship. And maybe you got the advice, "Man, if I was you, I'd just leave." I haven't ever done that. Okay, I just want you to know. But what about your commitment? You know, if you're committed, you'll be like Jacob when he said, I will not back up on my commitment. I'm going to see this through. I'm going to get the reward that I know is out there because, as we heard, I believe this is the right way. I believe that it is the right thing for me to keep my integrity, to keep my commitment to my spouse and to my Savior and to my God and to the path that I started down. I'm committed to it, you see. So another man that we have in the scripture is Job. I'd like to turn to Job, the 13th chapter. Job was a man that made commitments, and that's not recorded, as far as I know. We just know he did. We start out in the book of Job and realize that this man made some commitments somewhere along the line. He wasn't just inherently good. Somewhere along the line, he made the commitment to follow the Lord and to hear his call. In Job, the 13th chapter, in the 15th verse, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own way before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now, we know at this place in the story that his family had been taken away. His belief in the providence of God had been severely questioned. And we know that his wife had suggested to him that he would probably be better off. It'd be a quick escape to curse God and die. And now his friends had come and sat with him a long period of time, and then they began to point out that, "Surely, Job, you've sinned. You've done something wrong, or God wouldn't let this come upon you." And Job said many things. It seems like the 13th chapter is a continuation of the 12th chapter and Job's answer to accusations and all. But he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I don't see the results that I want so bad, I will stay committed to the call that I feel that I have." Are you willing? Some people can say, "Oh, I'm willing, let's go." Peter said, "Lord, I'll never leave you or forsake you." But we know what happened. He was a little bit shallow on commitment, wasn't he? When the test came, he denied the Lord. And where are we tonight? Hey, did you make a commitment to follow the Lord? And then when something come along that surely looks like the odds are stacked against me, and it looks like I'm going to be in the group that's looked on with ill favor, and no, I don't know those people. Is that where your commitment is? Or are you willing to say like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him"? You know, that causes me to stand back in admiration, say, "Lord, I need some of that. I need a character within me by your grace and your power. I want to be committed. I don't want to back up. I don't want my home to be dissolved. I want my home to be an anchor point for society. I want my relationship with the Lord to be such that others can say, I know it can be done." Not because it's been without contest. I want to be an inspiration for those that want to follow a skilled trade. You can do it. You can be committed and God will help you. Many times I've taken those problems that I didn't have an answer to the Lord, and he's helped me with that. Not because of some great revelation, but because he honored a commitment. You know, our family, our spouse might find fault with our commitment. Our friends might accuse us. And we may come to a place where we wonder where God is. You may feel that. It's one thing to feel alone because your friends aren't there, because your family is not there supporting you and encouraging you. And it's another thing to feel that maybe even God's forsaken you. That takes commitment to another level. Yes. Commitment is not worth the breath it takes to make it if we throw it overboard. Did you know that broken commitments will leave scars in your life? You start trying to unravel the pain of a broken home and help someone feel normal and feel loved and know how to get direction in their life, and you realize how deep those scars are. I believe that we should enter into commitments prayerfully, cautiously, and rest assured they'll be tested. And if you fail, if you back up, he'll use that against you too. You know, if you ever back up on a commitment that you've made with all intents of integrity, if you ever back up on that, you know, the devil will just add that to his arsenal to use against you. I'd like to read one more scripture to you in Job, the 19th chapter, in the 20th verse. He says, "Be ye afraid." That's not the right verse. Verse 20 says, "My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. I am escaped with the skin of my teeth." You know, I'd like to have a hall full of trophies of accomplishments, wouldn't you? I'd like to have a shelf upon shelf of achievement and maybe a glorious applause and all. It'd be nice. But I may only get out of this world with commitment. And I want to tell you, if our commitment is to stay true to the Lord, it'll be enough. It'll be enough. Are you committed to be pleasing to the Lord? Job came down to the point that commitment was about the only thing he had. And we look on the life of Job and we think, surely he was a good man, and God said that he was perfect and upright, and he escheweth evil. He shuns it in every way. But yet, because he kept his commitment true, it says that the latter end of Job was better than the first, doesn't it? So what was better about it? God didn't have a fault with him before. The reason he came through and said that his latter end was better than the first was because his commitment was still there. How much different would the story have been if somewhere in the middle of the book of Job it says that Job decided to curse God and that was the end of the story? But instead he came out not only one that was upright, not only one that had God's approval, but he came out in a better position than he went in. There are things in life that's much bigger than we are. There are obstacles that looks like it will suck the very life out of you. But I want to tell you, with God's help, and if you're committed, he'll see you through. You know, he showed Job what he ought to do. He showed Job that he ought to pray for his friends, those that had accused him. And because he had the commitment to be true to the Lord, he followed through with that. You think that was easy? No, this is the man that said he just barely escaped with the skin of his teeth. All he had was commitment. Everything else was gone. Then no one was there to say, "Job, you know, I really appreciate who you are. I don't know, maybe you'll misinterpret what I'm trying to say tonight, but I'm telling you from the depths of my heart, we're going to have commitment. Without commitment, we're going to fail, because we're all going to meet a test. We're going to be tested to the limit, and I want to come through on the other side with my commitment intact. You pray for me.